Today, we take a look at love and food through the eyes of a scientist. Our guest is neurologist and psychiatrist Dr. Alan Hirsch. He's been researching aroma and arousal. He's going to tell us why the scents of certain foods stimulate passionate behavior. But it's often not the same for both men and women. Now, this interview has some mature language in it, so be warned. You know, there's a scientific reason why you bring your date a box of chocolates and why the all-time most popular date is going out to eat. Foods often associated with seduction. According to our guest, there's another reason for that. It's scent. What we smell and how we react to it. Our guest is the neurologist and psychiatrist, Dr. Alan Hirsch. He researches smell and taste at the Smell and Taste Treatment and Research Foundation in Chicago. His book is Scentsational Sex. It's about the sexual response to scent. Supposedly, certain aromas in foods can affect us in some surprising ways. Dr. Hirsch, welcome.
Hello.
Is there really a connection between aroma and arousal? I mean, what's the science here?
Well, actually, there is. There's a direct connection between the olfactory bulb at the top of the nose and the septal nucleus of the brain, which is the arousal center. For instance, if you stimulate that in a squirrel monkey, the squirrel monkey develops an erection. So anatomically, there's this direct connection between smell and sexual arousal. And, you know, we talk about love at first sight. We really should be talking about love at first sniff, because it has a more direct approach to sexual arousal than any of the other sensory modalities.
Why are we set up that way?
Well, smell is a very primitive sensation, and it is of such importance that over 300 genes in the Human Genome Project have already been identified relating to smell far more than any of the other sensory modalities. You smell a smell, and you immediately decide, I like it or I don't like it. It gives you a direct affective emotion, totally different than all the other sensory modalities. So, you'll see a picture of a cow or a tree or a horse. You'll identify it, and then you'll decide if you like it or not. Mm-hmm. With smell, it's exactly the opposite. You'll immediately decide, I like it or I don't, and then you'll figure out what it is. I guess a good example in the non-olfactory sphere, have you ever been in a classroom and somebody's taken their fingernails and scratched it down a chalkboard and all of a sudden your hair stands on end and you become hyper awake and hyper alert?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Does that make any logical sense? I mean, when was the last time you were attacked by a chalkboard? But there's an example where sound induces change in emotions totally independent of thought. Well, the same thing happens with smell, except it happens all the time.
Now, was this for protection? Was it for procreation?
Well, actually, it was for both things. You know, we yawn as we're about to fall asleep. And as we yawn, we get more air into our mouth and more air into our nose. And hence, we are able to detect if there are any predators there about to attack us. So we know if it's safe to sleep or not. Likewise, being able to smell allows us to detect any potential pheromones that are present, suggesting that we might find a mate and having successful procreation. So smell is important for survival of the species.
Let's talk about food, because you talk about in the book that scents of certain foods have an effect on us. I think considering the time of year, I'd like to have sort of a hands-on how-to guide. Are there certain foods that spell disaster when it comes to romance?
Well, you know, I can tell you that when we studied odors and sexual arousal, the reason we began to look at this is in treating patients who lost their sense of smell, we found that 18% developed sexual dysfunction. So the idea came up that odors and sexual arousal were integrally related, and we're not the first ones to describe this. Freud, almost 100 years ago, said that in order to remain a civilized society, we had to repress our olfactory instincts. Otherwise, we'd walk around sexually excited all the time. So what we did is we set out to explore how smells could act to induce sexual arousal. And what we did is we measured penile blood flow of medical students, and we studied all sorts of different floral smells and perfumes. And as a control, an odor that I thought would have no effect at all, we threw in the smell of baked cinnamon buns. And lo and behold, the baked cinnamon buns had a greater effect than all the perfumes put together. I have to say, I wasn't sure what to make of that. It could just mean that medical students are always hungry. You don't know in that group. So we then studied males in the general population ages 18 to 64, and we studied a whole bunch more food items and colognes and perfumes and the like. And we found the number one odor that enhanced penile blood flow was actually a combination of lavender and pumpkin pie. Number two was a combination of donuts and black licorice. And number three was a combination of pumpkin pie and donuts. Although there was individual variation, so the older the man, the greater the engorgement with vanilla. Those who were most sexually satisfied had the greatest increase with strawberry, and those with the most frequent sexual intercourse had the greatest increase with lavender, oriental spice, and cola. Now, to give you an idea of what sort of changes these were, well, perfumes increased penile blood flow by a median of 3% as compared to 5% for cheese pizza, 9% for buttered popcorn, and 40% for lavender and pumpkin pie.
I have a feeling there's going to be a rush in the United States in the supermarket for lavender and pumpkin pie. But you're talking about arousal in men.
Well, that's right. We actually did the homologous study as well, looking at what odors induced female sexual arousal. And what we found was the number one odor that enhanced women's sexual arousal was actually a combination of Good and Plenty and cucumber, although Good and Plenty and banana nut bread also had very positive effects.
What a salad! Good and Plenty and cucumber salad.
Well, that's right. Now, I have to tell you that there were differences between men and women. In men, every single odor we tested enhanced penile blood flow. I guess it suggests it's a very resilient organ. But in women, we found differences. In women, there were some odors that inhibited female sexual arousal. For instance, the smell of cherries had a negative effect. The smell of barbecued roasted meat and the smell of men's cologne all inhibited female sexual arousal.
Well, that blows an entire industry right there.
Well, you know, I have to tell you a funny story. Is after we did these studies, we'd mixed up this Good and Plenty and cucumber mixture.
Right.
We couldn't keep it in the office because the medical students kept stealing it. So actually, a perfume company now, about a month ago, has come out with a perfume called Sexual Arousal, S.A., based on the studies. And actually, it is available, and they have a website at www.esexualarousal.com.
So you're saying it's Good and Plenty, and cucumber is the basis of that cologne?
And that's right, Good and Plenty and cucumber. And there's other things, though, that having to do with smell that are really very relevant and having to do with foods. For instance, people may want to do things to enhance the romantic relationship, for instance, at dinner. And what we found is that if you serve garlic bread along with a pasta dinner, it enhances positive interactions by 8% and reduces negative interactions by 22%. So having the smell and the taste of the garlic bread along with dinner actually enhances the communication, and then you may get secondary effects later on.
Who knew? The one food you think you would avoid for a romantic dinner, garlic bread.
Well, that's right. Now, I have to say that just because you have garlic bread for dinner doesn't necessarily mean that people want the smell of garlic on their breath. We did a study looking at what people wanted their spouses or their dates kiss to taste like. And we looked at 100 married men, 100 single men, 100 married women, 100 single women. And what we found was that the married woman and the single woman wanted their husbands or their dates kiss to taste fresh, clean, like toothpaste, minty. Mm-hmm. The married men similarly described that they preferred their wife's kiss to taste minty or spearmint-like. The single men said they preferred their dates kiss to taste like alcohol.
Well, anybody who's been to college can understand that. Dr. Hirsch, thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Dr. Alan Hirsch is a neurologist and psychiatrist. He is neurological director of the Smell and Taste Treatment and Research Foundation in Chicago. His latest book is What Flavor is Your Personality? You can get our picks for romantic dining in a special Valentine's Day menu that I've designed for our listeners. It's called Simple Seduction in Three Courses. And I suggest that you cook it together. I've got to admit, I did the menu before talking to Dr. Hirsch. I could have targeted it a little more next year. You can get the menu on our website at splendidtable.org.